The thrilling adventures of the Shadow are on the air, brought to you each week by the Blue Coal Dealers of America. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Before the Shadow begins today's adventure, I want to ask you a very important question. Have you enough coal left in your bin to round out the heating season? April is often a colder month than you'd ever realize. So if your bin is getting low, play safe. Take my tip and try a ton of Blue Coal. It will give you a steady flow of clean, radiant, healthful warmth that will enable you to wind up this winter season comfortably and economically as well. Phone your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer tomorrow, won't you? The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. As the Shadow, Cranston is gifted with hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's drama, Voodoo.
Major, Major Spire, tell me, just what is a hero?
Well, Margot, I'm afraid that I have never been able to answer that question to my own satisfaction.
But you've seen so many men under fire.
Yes, I know. But the men I've seen under fire have been fighting for something they believed in. Now, I don't think you can call that heroism.
No?
No. To fight for what you know to be true and to your best interest is just good, plain, common horse sense. Do you understand what I mean, Lamont?
I do, Major. I've always said that heroes should be judged by the measure of fear they have in their hearts. Not by what they do, but by how afraid they were to do it.
Well, that makes them pretty rare individuals, doesn't it, Lamont?
It does, Margot. I think I've only known one man who really measured up to those qualities in all my life.
Who is that, Lamont?
Sebastian. Remember him?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And don't you think he was a real hero?
Yes, he was.
Sebastian? I don't think I've ever heard of him. Was he recommended for the service cross?
No, Major. Sebastian was a man who crossed our paths one summer on Little Cauldron Island, one of the more remote of the Keechee group, about 80 miles off the Georgia coast.
But who was Sebastian?
Oh, just a chap who passed unknown and unsung. But for my money, he was a model of the purest form of heroism.
Well, I'd like to hear about him.
Very well. May I fill your glass, Major?
Oh, yes, thanks.
Well, Margot and I were vacationing on Little Cauldron that summer. The island was virtually owned by Gerald and Edmund Fergus. It's a desolate place. In fact, the Fergus brothers and their sister Polly were the only whites living there. The rest of the population consisted of some 2,000 backward and illiterate natives.
Backward and illiterate? That's giving the natives a break, Lamont.
You see, Major, these natives practiced a peculiar form of voodooism. They worshipped reptiles.
Worshipped reptiles?
I know it seems unbelievable to find such primitiveness only a few hours' journey from the Georgia coast. Nevertheless, it's true. I still carry proof of it here on my watch chain.
What is it?
A bit of hard wood, carved to resemble a serpent's head. The natives use it to ward off evil.
The natives call it a snake stone. All of them wear one tied around the neck.
Yes. Well, one day, just about dusk, during our first week on the island, Gerald Fergus, Margot, and I had gone down to the beach to meet the mail launch. Edmund Fergus was in his study on the lower floor of the big house attending to his accounts. Everything was quite orderly, routine, except that up in Miss Polly's room at the rear of the big frame mansion.
The surf is heavy tonight, Seamy.
Very heavy.
Where are you going?
Downstairs, Miss Polly.
Wait until I've finished dressing, please.
Tonight, night of dance congo. All peoples make big dance for spirits of dead. Sine go now.
No, please don't go. They'll begin those dreadful drums in a moment.
If you're afraid of dark, you like take this, maybe?
What is it?
Snake stone. Belong to Sine. Keep evil spirits away.
Oh, I don't believe in your superstition, Sine.
Then Sine go.
No, please, Sine.
It do you no good for me to stay.
What do you mean?
Miss Polly know that Gobi, Papaloy, which man of little cauldron put voodoo on Mr. Edmund, Mr. Gerald, and her too.
I don't believe that, Sini. Besides, if Papaloy has to have some of our clothing or our hair, something that belongs to us to make the voodoo work.
You're right, Miss Polly, you're right.
Of course I'm right.
Maybe Miss Polly noticed that Sini clean her hairbrush. Miss Polly must be careful. She's losing hair. Mr. Gerald, Mr. Edmund losing hair, too. All Fergus leave hair and brushes. But Sini take care of it. She take care of it.
Sini! She did it. She gave the commies to the witch man because she hates us. All of them do. They don't want us here. I must get dressed and tell Edmund all about it. He'll fix her. He'll have her arrested. He'll put an end to all this. What was that? Who's outside that window?
Mortava.
Who's there? I can see someone. Who is it? Tell me. Tell me. Who are you?
The mail launch is coming in now, Lamont.
Hello there, Mr. Fergus.
Hello, Norton.
I can't come in any closer. Ain't got any mail anyways, but I thought you might be interested to know we found the gun.
Oh, good. Can you identify it?
No, not yet. It's been sent to headquarters in Macon. They're tracing it.
I see. Well, good luck.
So long.
Yeah. What was that all about, Gerald?
Why, there was a murder committed on the mainland about a week ago.
Oh?
The officials believe that the killer is hiding somewhere on one of the islands.
Have they any idea who he is?
Yes, more or less. They suspect a man named Sebastian. He's a white who's loafed among these islands for years, living with the natives and existing as a shiftless beachcomber.
Well, has he turned up around here?
Not yet. They'll have a time finding him, even if he does.
Why is that?
The natives like him. They'll shield him from the authorities if they can. Hey, I imagine dinner's ready. Shall we go in the house?
Oh, I was waiting for you to mention food, Gerald. Frankly, I'm starved.
Oh, my.
Well, then we'll have to do something about that right away.
Good.
Go in ahead, Margo.
All right, thanks.
Well,
yeah.
Where have you people been?
We went down for the mail, Edmund.
Yes, how's the food situation, Ed?
It's all ready as soon as Polly comes down. How about a drink?
Ah, now there's a brother for you. What'll it be, Margo?
Nothing for me, thanks. I'll go up and see if I can hurry Polly along.
You, Lamont?
No, thanks.
Well, I'll have something, Edmund.
Right on.
Let's sit down, shall we?
Oh, Brian, thanks.
Oh, by the way, Edmund, the men on the launch told me they'd found the murderer's gun.
Really? Did it lead to anything?
Not yet, but Norton did say
that... That was Margo.
What's wrong?
We better go up and see.
Lamont, Gerald, come quick!
What is it, Margo?
It's Polly, Miss Polly. She's dead.
Don't you think we ought to notify the police, Edmund?
Wouldn't do any good tonight, Lamont. The mainland is 80 miles away.
But, Edmund, something horrible happened to your sister. She died of fright, I know. I've seen such cases before. The same contorted, twisted face.
I'm aware of that, Lamont.
Then whatever or whoever it was is still at large. Perhaps planning even now to carry on his work.
Quite possibly.
Well, then why don't you let Lamont go to the mainland and get the police?
Because we're confronted with an even greater danger, a more immediate peril that we must all face together.
What do you mean?
Those drums. Part of a native ceremony.
But what do they have to do with your sister's death?
A great deal. The natives have always hated our entire family. They believe that they have succeeded in putting a voodoo curse on us.
You mean because of your sister's death?
Yes. When they hear of it, which they probably have already from our servant, Sini, they will come here to the house, all of them.
Why? Why?
To demand my sister's corpse.
Why, that's fantastic.
I know. But their belief is that a dead person should be prepared for burial immediately. Else a terrible calamity will occur.
But we can't let them do that.
What can be done to stop them?
Well, I have several guns upstairs. I don't know what good they'll do against terrific odds, but I can get them anyway.
Well, yes, by all means do.
Gerald, what's happened?
The natives.
Mancini is leading them here.
I'll get the guns at once.
They've heard about Polly's death. They believe that they have voodoo caused it. They're coming here.
Oh! Edmund! He's falling down the stairs!
Edmund, what's wrong?
Come, all you! Voodoo, curse, Wiccan!
Keep out of here!
They're swarming into the room, thousands of
them. There, bodies! Two bodies! Gobi Papaloi, take bodies!
No, no!
Don't touch those bodies!
Voodoo, curse, worm! Voodoo, curse!
Let go of me! Get out of here!
Morning. There's been no let up in that infernal chanting.
Gerald, what will they do with the bodies when daylight comes?
Lay them out in a clearing on a bier of twigs and leaves. They'll be kept that way until nightfall. Then they'll lower them into graves.
Oh. Do you think we should wake Lamont?
No, let him sleep. He must be exhausted.
Gerald, this voodooism, how does it work?
Why, it's supposed to be a psychological thing, Margot. The victim presumably works the curse out on himself by dreading it. This brings on his undoing.
But how does a person know when he's been selected as a victim?
Well, there are many ways, Margot. I have one of them here in my pocket. It consists of three tiny dolls.
Dolls?
Yes. They're presumably the images of Polly, Edmund, me. I found them in Cini's room. The replicas of my brother and sister are both stuck with pins.
Why is that?
Well, it's one of the methods used by the natives to cause death.
But the image of you was untouched.
Yes, fortunately. Here, I'll show them to you. You see? This is Polly. This is Edmund. This is... Why, my image now has pins in it, too.
Yes. Yes, they all have.
I don't understand. How did it happen?
Gerald, you're not going to believe in this thing, too, are you?
Margot, there's something I think you should know.
Yes, Gerald. You said there's something you think I should know. Gerald? Oh, the poor boy's fallen asleep, too, I guess. Gerald?
Margot.
Gerald.
What is it? Why did you call, huh?
Lamont, it's Gerald. Something's happened to him.
What? Gerald? Come on, old boy. Gerald!
Lamont, is he dead?
I'm afraid so, Margot.
Ah!
Who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm called Sebastian.
The killer. The missing killer.
Tell me quickly. Who are the natives holding funeral rites for?
Edmund Fergus and his sister Polly. They died earlier this evening.
I see. It's almost dawn.
Why have you come here? You, an escaped murderer?
Listen, I don't know what you heard about me. I didn't kill that man on the mainland.
You've been suspected of the crime.
Edmund Fergus put the police on my trail. He did this because he himself was the murderer.
How can you say that?
I saw him do it. He knows that I saw him. That's why he accused me. Edmund is a dangerous man. He's mad, I tell you. Mad.
Edmund Fergus is dead, you know that. You know that your accusations can never be challenged.
Edmund Fergus is not dead.
What are you saying?
I came here to warn you to take a boat to the mainland at once.
What is he talking about?
I can't stay here any longer. It isn't safe.
Wait, you're not going. I won't let you go.
Take your hands off me.
You're wanted by the police, and I shall see that they get you.
Don't be a fool. Let me go.
Lamont, look, coming over the hill. The natives, hundreds of them.
I warned you this would happen.
Well, there seems to be a white man leading them, urging them on.
It's Fergus. Edmund Fergus.
He's right, Lamont. It is Edmund. He's alive.
Yes. Yes, I see him now.
Oh!
Quiet. He's shouting something to them.
Follow me! Follow your God who has returned from the grave. I am your...
How do you believe what I told you?
He was right, Lamont.
I must go. They can't find me here.
You must kill my enemy!
That happens to be us, my friend. So I have to go. Good luck.
Wait!
He's gone, Margot. Stand close to me, darling. They're coming.
I'll be all-powerful.
Lamont, what's going on downstairs? Can you hear what Edmund's saying?
Just snatches of it. He seems to be bragging about his great powers to the natives.
Why were we locked in this room? Why are we prisoners here?
Well, I don't know, Margot. Edmund must have some scheme afoot concerning us.
The trial of my enemy.
Listen, there's someone's unlocking the door.
The trial of my enemy is about to begin.
The servants
Phoenix. Both of you, come. Master, send for you.
Are we to be freed? Sent back to the mainland?
Master, decide that. Come.
Well, we might as well go down, Margot.
You shall now see two.
Lamont.
Who have attempted to stand
look.
In my way, they've not.
Look at all those natives. The room is full of them.
That will be their punishment.
And do you see your friend, Edmund? He's rigged up a sort of throne at the end of the room.
You will stand before the throne of justice, both of you, where you shall be given every consideration, every chance to defend yourself.
Defend ourselves? Defend ourselves against what? What have we done?
You have broken the laws of the island.
He's mad, Lamont, mad.
Yes, but not so mad that he didn't know what he was doing when he murdered his own sister and brother.
What are you saying?
You know that's true, Edmund. You had Polly done away with, and you yourself gave Gerald a slow poison in his drink.
That's blasphemy.
You killed them to satisfy your insane craving for power. You wish the natives to believe in your supernatural resurrection.
Enough. I've heard enough.
You killed your brother and sister to save your own neck. Deny that if you can.
Take them away. Take them away, both of them. Obey when your God speaks to you. Take them to the ceremonial ground. Place them under guard in one of the huts. Tomorrow at dawn, they shall die.
Margot.
Yes, Lamont.
The guards are sleeping.
Yes, I know.
I could only reach that infernal rope that's binding my ankles. I could free myself.
Oh, keep trying, Lamont.
Must be nearly dawn. I'll be coming for us soon. We must get free.
What's that?
The door is opening. Someone is coming into the hut. Who's there?
Quiet. It's Sebastian. I've come to help you.
Sebastian?
How did you get here without their seeing you?
Never mind that. Time is too precious to waste on talk.
Have the natives awakened yet?
No, but they will soon. I have a knife here. I'll cut your ties. Lie quietly, don't move.
All right. What are our chances for escape?
Not good.
Are there any boats nearby?
They're all being watched. There you are.
Thanks.
Now, the young lady, I'll cut her bonds, too.
No, no, wait. I've just thought of something. Something that has one chance in 1,000 of working, but we must gamble that it will.
What? What is it, Lamont?
You must remain tied up, Margot.
Lamont,
Please trust me, Margot. Sebastian, are you willing to trust me, too? To do whatever I say, if it means our getting out of here safely?
Certainly.
Good. Here. I want you to wear my coat. Here, take it. Give me yours.
All right.
You must remain here in my place, Sebastian. I shall tie you with the ropes that once bound me.
I'm willing.
I must tie you quickly, then.
Where are you going, Lamont?
To try to bring freedom to all of us. There. That'll have to do.
Good luck.
Thanks. Trust me, both of you.
I wonder if he'll come back.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Well, in any case, I'll do my best, young lady, to give you what little protection I can offer.
Listen to them. That frenzied cry.
Courage, young lady, courage.
Where is Lamont? Why doesn't he come?
There's still time. Have faith.
Bring them here. Bring them to the stake.
Master orders. Obey him. Let go of me.
Come, come.
No, you can't do this. Edmund, listen to me. These savages obey your command. Make them stop in heaven's name before it's too late.
Govi Papaloi. You call, master. Govi Papaloi will prepare the victim for the sacrifice. Govi Papaloi, obey.
Take your hands off me, all of you.
It's useless to struggle now.
Are you giving up, Sebastian?
No, no, I'm waiting for the proper time to strike.
What are they doing with me? Where are they taking me?
We're in a large clearing, surrounded by the natives. In the center of the clearing, Govi Papaloi, the witch man, waits us. In his hand, he holds the sacrificial knife.
No! No, they plan to murder us in cold blood.
It's the ritual.
Ritual? How dare a tribe of lowly snakestone-wearing savages even use that sacred
knife? The girl first!
Where's Lamont? Why doesn't he come?
Well, prepare herself to die.
Very well. Very well. I see there's no chance now. You can do with me as you wish.
Don't give up hope.
Govi Papaloi will strike. I offer sacrifice to serpent, to ancestors of serpent. Govi Papaloi, now take life.
Oh, no, you don't!
White man, attack Papaloi.
Stop him, I say.
He got knife. He stabbed Papaloi.
Get that knife away from him.
He need that knife. Now give it back to white man.
No.
Sebastian, done to you?
You must carry on alone.
From the back,
quiet. Keep Papa Lord. Jimmy, keep him. Now, Jimmy, keep you too.
Watch it, Jimmy. You shall continue the sacrifice. Kill her. Kill her.
Jimmy, obey.
Oh, thank heaven.
Something holds Jeannie's arm. She cannot strike with knife.
I am preventing you from striking your helpless victim, Sini.
Who are you? I see no one.
You shall find out soon enough.
Voodoo. That voodoo magic.
Strike, Sini! Continue the sacrifice. Why do you stand there like that?
Because I have willed her to do so.
Who speaks? Where did that voice come from?
You might know me, Edmund Fergus, as the Shadow.
Shadow?
So you've heard of me. Then you must know why I'm here, Edmund. I've come to put an end to your reign of terror and murder.
How dare you defy me?
Observe this, all of you. I have willed it that this girl's life be spared. Now watch as the knife is taken from Zini's hands by an unseen power. There, you see? You see her drop the knife?
Pay no attention to him. He's resorted to trickery, cheap trickery.
You can answer that, Zini. Did you feel the pressure of my hand upon your arm? Did I make you drop that knife?
Yes. Use that voodoo. Powerful voodoo magic.
Wait, all of you. Don't be swayed by an unseen voice. I am your master. I am your god. You must obey me.
That is a lie. He is not a god. He is a mortal being who tricked you into believing that he had returned from the dead. Let me tell you this. Edmund Fergus never died. He had no resurrection.
Don't listen to him. Continue the ceremony. I command you.
You command, Edmund Fergus, but none obeys. They stand silently. You are rapidly losing your hold on these people.
I must obey. You hear? I must.
Look, all of you. Observe the behavior of your god. See how frightened he acts. He's afraid of you. He's afraid of what you'll do to him.
No.
If he were a god, why didn't he prevent the death of your witch man, Gobi Papaloi? Why doesn't he stop me now from telling you these things?
Oh. Wait, don't listen to him.
There is blood on his hands, much blood. The blood of your people and his.
Keep away from me. Turn back, all of you.
Margo, run quickly to the beach.
Oh. Yes.
Don't come any nearer.
You're powerless now, Edmund Fergus. These people have found you out.
Keep away!
Well, that's quite a story, Lamont. But as for this fellow Sebastian, I hate to disagree with you, but I wouldn't call him an exceptional hero. After all, he did what any other white man would have done in the same situation.
Not exactly, Major. You see, when the natives prepared to burn the remains of Sebastian, tied around his neck, they found a snake stone.
You mean he believed in voodoo?
Completely.
He was a member of the cult, Major.
Then he must have believed that in killing the witch man, he was dooming himself to eternal damnation.
I'm sure that he did.
Yet he killed him anyway. I wonder how he ever brought himself to do it.
A hero, Major, must be measured by the amount of fear he has in his heart.
Now, fresh from the records of the New York General Sessions Court, we bring you conclusive proof that crime does not pay. New York City, January 14th. Jerome Reuben Lewis forges check for $18.60. Crime, forgery in the second degree.
New York City, March 20th. Jerome Reuben Lewis sentenced to from 5 to 10 years in state's prison. The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.